This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast, easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code GIRLS.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Gene Johnson. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Girls After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Girls After Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Girls After Show. We are in Season 3, Episode 10, Role Play. I am your host, Kelly, and I've got with me...
Miriam.
And Spicy Maddie.
And we're, we're having a lot of interesting conversations before this show got started today.
As we always do.
There's only two episodes left, and tonight we saw a little tension in Hannah and Adam's relationship. To the point where she felt she needed to get into character and kind of spice things up in her own way. How did she do on the spiciness, Maddie? You're the expert in that. Let us know.
I want to say that she was very dedicated to her role. I really appreciated that about her. And I know that it's hard to come up with certain things that can turn your partner on when the relationship gets a little bit dead and monotonous. But I thought that it was adorable that Hannah... Still was Hannah even trying to be sexy. Like, she doesn't know how to do anything but be Hannah. The fact that she had granny panties on.
Under her Christmas tree lingerie.
Wait, she's wearing lingerie. You don't put granny panties under your lingerie. It's lingerie. It is your panties. She cracks me up.
She tried, though. I give her an A+ for effort.
I mean, she did a wig. She did, like, the whole nine. Accents. She had a whole story planned out. You know, she had a drink ready that was water,
she
not a real
a victim.
One. Yeah. To the point where Adam got punched in the face.
Right. I thought he was going to be upset about that because of his role that he has to play. So I was thinking, oh, it's going to hurt, you know, him on stage the next day.
Yeah. Oh, true. Because of his face. Yeah. No, he seemed to just kind of laugh it off.
Yeah, I thought it was cute. I thought they were having a connection in a moment.
Yeah. And it looked like they were until, you know, they go back to Marnie's apartment and then she all of a sudden changes character, like, in the midst of what was happening. And all of a sudden he's a Skrull weirdo and he's not really into that.
Yeah. He definitely didn't like the change up.
No.
Which is really interesting because this was somebody who was the most awkward lover I've ever seen on camera before when it came to having sex with someone. I thought that he was vulgar and disrespectful and just unpleasant even to watch originally when the season first began and he was started having sex with Hannah. And I thought that he was taking advantage of her, you know, deep affection for him.
Oh, you mean like early on in the, when
the
series
beginning
started?
Of the season. Yeah, like the first season. Mm-hmm. And so it was like repulsive the way he would treat her when they would have sex. And it was uncomfortable and she only aimed to please. And now it's like fast forward, she still aims to please, but this time he wants more, I guess, sensualness and lovemaking.
Well, he explains it a little bit. He goes into it and he says that before sex was a substitute for drinking because we all know he's an alcoholic and that's why he would get into that and be very detached and make up all these things and it would just be about the sex itself, which it was that way with Hannah in the beginning, which he admits and then says all of a sudden we fell in love and then I only wanted to be with you and I wanted to be sweet and I wanted to be different. And he apologizes. I didn't know that this wasn't fulfilling you. I'm sorry. And then she's confused and she doesn't really know. And I mean, how do you guys think that they went from where they were and both being on two? I mean, he obviously thought everything was okay. So how do you think it, in her mind, it went from there to this?
I honestly think that for her, she liked Adam with that freaky sex. Mm-hmm. She liked the excitement of it. And even though it was weird for us to see, there was an attraction there, and that's what attracted her to him. For her to have vanilla sex with him wasn't necessarily appealing, which is why she says to Elijah early, you know, in the episode when they're sitting eating burritos in bed with their do-rags on their head, that, you know, she felt like, you know, she's just an ottoman with a vagina. Mm-hmm. You know, she likes the whole fun, spicy, adventurous sex. I mean, who doesn't? Mm-hmm. You know, who really doesn't like to have a little excitement in their sex life? And so, which is why she goes and she does this whole role-playing thing with mm-hmm. him. Nobody wants to just feel like, you know, you just roll over with your partner and then that's just it.
Right.
You want a little spice in it.
Well, do you think that it's really all just about the sex? Or do you think that now it's the fact that all of his attention is not going to her?
And that's what I was going to say. I don't think that it's so much that he's not having sex with her, because there's been a few times that she's come home from a long day of work and fell asleep on the couch, too. Mm-hmm. I think it's more the lack of attention that he's giving her, and she's already had a seed planted in her ear as far as what would happen with him beginning this new career as a thespian. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that now she's starting to see, okay, he's not even noticing when I'm not here, he could care less if I don't go, and now we're not having freaky sex either. I think it's just it's a desire to be noticed.
Absolutely. And a good example of that was when, you know, she got all clean for him and, you know, she goes and she straddles him and he's on the couch reading, you know, reading the book or the screenplay for, you know, his show that he's in, is what I'm assuming that was. And he's like, I don't want to get sticky before rehearsal. Now, any right man in his right mind, and you have a naked chick on top of you, you're going for it, you know. It's easy to clean that off, and he rejects her.
Maybe.
No woman wants to be rejected.
No.
No, that is the worst feeling ever.
Yes. Right.
When your man tells you he can't, you're like, what? Huh?
Not can't, he won't.
Wait, what do you mean we have to go work out and you won't be able to lift a weight if we have sex? No, we're having sex! Okay, sorry, relapse. but in that situation, I do kind of understand where Adam is coming from, only because he's never in his entire life had to be responsible or take anything serious. And for the first time now, he's being noticed as a serious, important person. Mm-hmm. And usually people look at him like some bum off the street. And for the first time, he's receiving respect from colleagues or, you know, other people who take the craft seriously. So I think he's trying to rise to the occasion. And unfortunately, Hannah would be a distraction for him. And I think he's just trying a responsible route and seeing how this works. I really don't think that it's a lack of love or interest in Hannah. But as women, we can't separate that. And when we get emotional and we want something, then it's like the end of the world.
This is true. Yeah. And again, it goes back to rejection. It doesn't matter what the reason is.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to feel that initial jolt of rejection.
Right.
And the interesting thing I thought, too, is that, and again, they're both young, kind of like going through their things. And in Hannah's career path, she's never really focused to the extreme that Adam's trying to focus.
Yeah.
So she can't even relate, and nor is she even really trying to.
Right.
So instead, she's turning it around and making it about her and her relationship a little bit. Instead of having a conversation with them and with him and trying to see, you know, how can I help you? What can we do here? And I think a lot of it has to do with all of the negativity that people have been saying to her, which she hasn't really brought up to him aside from the one time in the bathtub.
Yeah.
That they had that little conversation about it. But even Elijah, when they were at the hotel, was pretty jealous of Adam because he didn't even try and he's already in it. He's going to be on Broadway. And the conversation that the two of them had, and he's like, oh, I can introduce you to this and that. And Adam's like, you know, I'm not really into that. I just, you know, everybody's having this, like, negative reaction to it.
Yeah, it's really funny how that always works out. It's the one that doesn't take it so seriously that gets into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That kind of falls into it.
It always happens that way. The ones that take it so seriously never get into it so easily. And the ones that don't, there you go. There you have it.
And here we have a situation where I think, and he kind of says it in, you know, when they're having their little argument toward the end of the episode, is that he says he always did take it serious. Like, he always did care about it. He just showed that he didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we know that he's kind of a jacked up, kind of in the head, a messed up character anyway.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he's one of those people that basically just doesn't put any, you know, kind of didn't put any weight behind anything because he's so used to, you know, to failure and so used to not getting anything. And so when something good happens, he doesn't know what to do. All he knows how to do is talk it down like he didn't really care anyway. Mm-hmm. When, you know, he does, and he's good at this. he's doing he's doing well in this production. Yeah. And his picture is on the, you know, in the poster, and, you know, he's doing really well. And he doesn't even, I don't think, know really how to embrace that. So he's trying and he wants to do his best. And it's a different side of his character that we're seeing, and that even Hannah's seeing, and she doesn't get it either.
Well, we saw we could take him seriously as an actor, even when he was in the tub with Hannah. And, you know, she was trying to get affirmation that he wasn't going anywhere, and mm-hmm. he was trying to comfort her. But when she said, you know, say your lines for me, at that moment, I was like, oh, my gosh, Adam really is good. And again, it was an actor playing an actor.
Right.
But he was really good.
But in that moment, it made you believe.
Yeah, like, I mean, believed that Adam was taking his acting, you know, to the next height.
Yeah.
But what I thought was interesting, too, was that he from the beginning did take it seriously. We're forgetting the part where he went into the bathroom and he put a napkin in his mouth and he screamed at the top of his lungs so that nobody would hear his excitement. So
right, but that's what we saw. Hannah didn't see that. And before he went to that audition, mm-hmm. and he kind of was excited about it, and he told her he was like, but from the very beginning, it was still very brush it off.
He was trying to downplay
it. He was still downplaying it. Yeah, you're right. Like, we saw him react to it. Like, we saw him get excited, and then when he met Desi and they kind of bonded on this and they both got roles in the play, and like, we got to watch all of that. But Hannah didn't get to see that. Like, she, I mean, he was excited. He did tell her that he was excited, but remember, she remembers that it was just kind of like a thing that he just went to go do one day.
Yeah.
It wasn't really like this, like, she wanted to be a writer. She's setting out to be a writer.
Right.
Like, this was one in many things that he wanted to do, and this one just happened to stick for right now. And remember what her mother told her too, that, you know, he comes in and out of things. One day he's doing this, one day he's doing that. And I think all of those things are just piling up.
So it made her not take him so seriously as well with his acting.
I think a little, that she didn't really believe that he was as committed to it as he is, I think. I think I know that, I feel like she knows that he's into it, he wants to do a good job, but I don't think until now that she's really realizing, like, how into it he really is, and I think that's scary for her.
Well, I think it's also insulting a little bit, the fact that this is the second time he's rejected her. He pulled out prematurely. And so, you know, that right there is like, wait, hold on, what are you doing? Why are we stopping? Just continue on with the role playing. And then, you know, they have a real conversation. And then he says he's not going to be staying with her.
Ooh,
like,
yeah.
That is dang near breakup words. When you say, you know, we're taking a break kind of thing, I'm not going to live with you, that's a big deal. And
it's a very big
deal. It's not even an argument to where it needs to go that far. So it just makes me wonder why that was even put on the table.
I think that I think that because she's been questioning him with, you know, the fact that his career and all of her insecurities have been popping up,
mm-hmm.
little by little, it's he doesn't want to be distracted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a lot more focused than I think she realized.
Right.
And all of her questioning him, her showing up at his performance, you know,
he invited her.
He invited her, but I don't think he realized that she was going to show up.
Well, no, he asked her again after he rejected her of having sex, and he was like, "Are you? You know, I still love you." She's like, "I still love you too." And he said, "Are you still coming to rehearsal?" And she's like, "Yeah, I have to get dressed." He absolutely knew, but he got in trouble and didn't want to speak out. So then he didn't have her back in that situation. He just kind of was like, oh, we discussed it, and then didn't take responsibility for inviting her when he absolutely invited her.
I think he's a little overwhelmed then.
No, absolutely.
He's a little overwhelmed. I don't think he knows how to handle the situation. And honestly, I think Adam's getting scared. And for him, he's running away from the situation. And it's really weird that he's going to go and stay with Ray at his old place. I think it's kind of weird. I think this is a chicken shit situation for him to go and run.
And why Ray?
Because that's his old apartment.
Oh,
yeah,
Ray
Adam's old apartment.
Yeah. Like, yeah, okay.
And you know, I think it's really just as simple as he doesn't want to deal with her and whatever's happening here because he can't do both, and he wants to focus on his acting and his role. And I don't think it really has anything to do with the fact that he doesn't love her. I think it's really that he's separating it. I need to push pause over here because I need to focus on this. I've never done, and he says almost as much, I've never done this before. I want to be the best that I can be, and I need to focus, and I don't need the drama.
Do you think that it's possibly could do with last week's episode and the fact that there's the realization of how serious of what went on the table last week of marriage and where the relationship could be going.
I mean, that could be, absolutely. It could be something that, but I think he's so wrapped up in that role that it's not even at the forefront. I really think it's just as simple as he wants to focus on that and he doesn't have time for all that goes on in her head right now. Not that he doesn't care, not that he doesn't love her, but he can't deal with it.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I can't do the drama. I need to focus on this role. And she's like, what? It's just me. And he's like, exactly. She is all the all-encompassing drama, which, you know, she kind of is. And not that it's, I'm not saying that it's wrong. And it's when you have all these outside things and it's a relationship that's getting serious and you're young and now things are different and it's worrisome. Everybody has insecurities and it's a very natural thing to feel. And especially when you're dealing with people in the entertainment industry, I think it adds just a little bit more of an edge to it.
I found it very disappointing though that he, you know, he said that there was drama and he takes his career seriously, but he wasn't taking her career seriously. The fact that, you know, he was like, he kind of put down what she was doing as far as her working at GQ in that conversation.
Right. Cause she said, I work too. And he's like, it's not the same.
And it's,
but I mean, but is it the same?
I mean,
it's not really.
It's apples
though.
And oranges, but hers is more, hers is going to be more consistent.
But I don't think he was talking about it in that sense. I think he was talking about it in the sense of having, you know, he has to become a whole different person. It's a little bit more, I think that's the way he was thinking about it. He has to practice. This is something he's never done before. She's been writing.
Yeah.
She knows what her job consists of. She knows what she's supposed to do. He doesn't.
Yeah.
And he has to become a whole different person. So in retrospect, it's not the same. Her going to work and him going to work are two completely different things.
Well, she has to write about things that aren't of her.
Right, but she is a writer. That's what she does. She's been doing that. She's been setting herself up to do that. He just decided one day he wanted to be an actor and then, you know, and really to pursue it. And now that he's, you know, it's just, I feel like he's just not comfortable within himself and he has to focus on that so much.
I don't know if I think that that's fair.
It's like, not fair. I'm not saying that it's fair.
The fact that he belittled her in the process too, I don't think was very sensitive. In addition, when her world came crashing down because her publicist died and she was devastated that her ebook wasn't going to get published, he downplayed it like, you know, oh, you care more about the book than you do the death. But that was her world crumbling down. And mm-hmm. So, you know, he brushed that off. And so now that she's, you know, having this vulnerability or this sensitivity, he's downplaying something that is extremely important to her.
Which goes to show what we've always talked about and how they're very similar in those selfish ways, is that they each take themselves above all more seriously than they would each other. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, he's going to think of himself before, and he, you know, if she's looking at it, and she is in a smaller way almost doing the same. Like, she doesn't understand why he can't do both at the same time. She doesn't see what the big deal is. It's a play, whatever. You know, he doesn't understand what she, and it's just not, it's not getting it on either side. And I think that's just a common thing that happens in a lot of relationships, regardless of what you're doing. It's not really getting what the other one is because you yourself are just so much more important in your own mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that is going to be what we're going to see play out in these next, you know, two episodes, is if, you know, who's going to be the one to, if they're going to give up or if they're both going to fight to stay in this relationship and have a real conversation to get what the other one really means.
Well, in a relationship, you're going to have stuff for work that comes up. You can't go stay at Ray's house every single time you get a role or, you know, Hannah has a page that she needs to put out the next day or story she needs to write.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't run from your relationship. You just learn how to juggle both.
Exactly.
Okay, so from this time to this time, I need to do my studying. Here, let's talk about it. Let me give you 30 minutes to an hour to make you feel better and comforted. I'm not going anywhere. And then I'll go back to studying my lines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're kids and they probably haven't realized communication yet, but you have to be able to juggle both. Because if they do eventually ever get married, you're going to have family and kids and other responsibilities that you're going to have to take care of.
Oh, it's definitely not a good habit to get into.
You gotta learn to find the balance.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
The sad thing is we totally were so happy with how they were able to communicate, and now they're showing us that they don't know how to do that, and it's really unfortunate that they've taken a turn.
Well, I do think that they're still communicating. I just don't think that they are
I just don't think that they understand what the other one does, or, and neither one of them respects it on the level that they should. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Well, I think, too, there's that, like, you know, flight mechanism where, you know, you get afraid.
The fight or flight?
Yeah, fight or flight. Yeah. You get afraid, and you run from the problem as opposed to addressing it.
Yeah.
And so I think that that comes with maturity. I think they do, they're very honest with each other. He was extremely honest with her, brutally honest, and vice versa, she usually is as well. So I think that they are telling each other what they're feeling, but I don't think that they're receiving it and then handling it correctly. They're not there for one another right now.
I see that, yes, because he just doesn't want to deal with it. So he just wants to run to Ray's, not deal with it, pick it back up when his play is done.
And that's not okay.
No, that's not. No, and the, no not that's cool. Not cool at all. No, I agree. I absolutely agree.
This could either make, this could break them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
This could definitely break them because it'll play on her.
Oh, absolutely.
This would play on any woman.
Yeah. I mean, as it should. I mean, you know, when work comes into play and your partner doesn't really get what you're doing, that's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's your livelihood. What are you going to do?
So this, tell me the name of the guy who Adam is doing the play with.
Desi.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. it sounds like such a girl name.
Yeah.
I want to say Desiree. You know, Desi short for Desiree. But for whatever reason, this guy, Desi, who's doing the play with Adam, is taking an interest to Marnie.
Well, he's helping her with her music.
Uh-huh. Right.
She definitely has an interest in him.
And usually I feel like when people or older men take a liking to your talent.
I don't think he's that much older.
I mean, he looks a little bit older. He's been in like all these shows and has a long resume, yeah. Right?
I mean, he might be.
He's traveled the world on his motorcycle.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to be old to do that.
he's
older, but I didn't think he was like that much older.
Yeah, he's not that much older. Oh, okay. He's seasoned.
Maybe because of the facial hair. I don't know.
That always ages visually.
But no, Marnie is obviously way into him, and he has a girlfriend, which he said, you know, when they first met. And, but he still wanted to help her with her writing, listen to her songs, and kind of help her, you know, with her music.
Yeah.
So we see them having this little practice session. And I thought that his chosen freestyle song was pretty interesting.
That he sings about his girlfriend, actually.
So he says, do we believe that?
No, I think that Marnie wanted that to be about her.
Oh, no, yeah, she absolutely sure. did. Just the look on her face.
Yeah.
But now, being a seasoned individual, as we say he is, now, he's not dumb. He's a little smarter than that. So to say, don't think about it, sing the first thing that comes to your mind, I get it. His girlfriend's not there. He's missing her, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But, I mean, that's kind of misleading. Like, why would he do that aside from wanting that extra attention?
He's purposely leading her on.
I feel like it. I just don't feel like guys are that dumb.
Well, sometimes people just want you to like them just because it makes them feel good to be liked.
Right.
They might not like you back. They just like the way that it feels when
feels
you
good
like
to be
them.
Liked.
Yeah. So he might, he's probably, you know, dabbling a little carrot, dangling a carrot in front of her, knowing what he's doing.
Right.
And so it's a little manipulative as well.
I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching, but I thought it was calculated and on purpose. I don't think that that was, oh, I was just thinking about my girlfriend. Give me a break, dude.
That, or it's just a lovely reminder to Marnie, like, hey, by the way, don't forget I do have a girlfriend.
Yeah, but saying, girl, I need you in my bed right now was his first lyric. it could have been, I'm missing you, I'm thinking of you, but no, it was, girl, I need you in my bed right now, I can't get you out of my mind. Come on.
So, can we say that it's been a transition from a positive figure in her life, from Ray, to this guy?
It looks, I mean, I think more to make her focus on herself and not so much like a man in her life. I think it could be that because he does keep telling her he's got a girlfriend and he's not thinking about her. But we did see from the previews there was a little kind of closeness, them standing in front of each other. So we'll see what happens there. She could, it could go one of two ways. It could, you know, he could, she could make a pass, he could be into it, or he could reject her and then we're going to see her spiral out of control yet again. I don't know, but that's going to be interesting, too, especially now with her friend Soojin's gallery and then being offered an assistant job to Soojin.
Well, I what was wrong with that?
You know, it's another ego blow for Marnie. And honestly, either way, I like that she's focusing on herself with the music, which she's passionate about.
Right.
And with going back into the art world. And, you know, she's got to swallow her pride, period.
I would totally take
she
it.
She has to swallow her pride, be an assistant, be in the mix. And I've been saying this for weeks. She needs to be involved no matter at what level it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because better to be doing that than waiting tables or working at a coffee shop and not being happy at all.
Right. At least she's in her own industry. She can make contacts. And she's helping to build this gallery from the ground up. And she's going to be one of the main people just because her title is not gallery director.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's still...
It's still be, in it.
Yeah, one of the three top people.
Exactly.
You know, the title might not, you know, carry a lot of weight itself, but you never know what the experience will be. So, I mean, and it's her friend, which shows it's like a walk-in opportunity.
Yeah.
Which she, I feel like she should absolutely jump on. And I hope that she does. Yes, it's an ego blow, but that's what happens when you kind of like get out of your line, you step out of line for a little bit. You know, you have to kind of come back and start back from the bottom, because as soon as you walk out, there's 15 people waiting to jump right in.
Exactly. You have to take the opportunity. And you know, Soo-jin says she needs someone with more experience.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're an assistant, you do have, she does have way more experience than she does.
And it's kind of a compliment. I mean, the girl's got the money. She's opening the gallery and she wants someone to help run it that knows more than she does.
Exactly.
So in a way, it's, you know, kind of it's, you know, a, it's a crappy title, but you know, go for it, girl.
It's a win-win.
Let's She'll see be... what you really have, you know, because if you can help make this gallery something, then who knows what the opportunities, you know, that can come her way.
Exactly. She'll be in the presence of all the right people.
Exactly.
With this opportunity. And so I think this is a really, really good thing for Marnie. It's a really, really good thing. And she will be able to get it in front of all the right people, the right platforms, the right situations, and it's a really good thing. It's a really good
thing. It's kind of like what Ray did. He started at the bottom and was serving coffee and making smoothies or whatever at this coffee shop or whatever this restaurant is that he now owns.
Well, now it's called Ray's.
Yeah, now it's Ray's. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he started from nothing, and then he worked his way up to the management position, and now he's owner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing. I mean, you don't – the title's not fancy and pretty, and the paycheck might not be as good at first, but – she needs this, especially if she's passionate about this industry.
Right, and if she can't open her own gallery at this point, this is the next best thing.
It is. It is. Absolutely. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to create your own professional website and or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off of your first purchase, go to squarespace.com and use offer code GIRLS. The really great thing about this is you can use, it has beautiful designs to start off with, unique. It has 24-hour, 7 days a week support team. $8 a month to start, which is really great. A free domain name for a year if you sign up. You can start building with no credit card down, which is great. Also, you know, like I said, 10% off of your first purchase. It's super, super easy to use. You can connect all of your accounts, which is great. It has a commerce platform, so if you want to sell anything on it, it's really cool.
Ah, the gallery. See, she can build it up.
She can build, yeah, and, you know.
Start selling artwork online.
Exactly. So it's really, really cool. It has a really great responsive designs, which is great. So go to squarespace.com to use, you know, to sign up for this and use the offer code GIRLS.
Fabulous.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to Shoshana and Jessa.
Yes.
Jessa is a whole hot mess.
Oh, she is. She is.
She's got that, you know, wigging out shaky thing going on. She's hiding cocaine from Jasper. She's just a mess. Hot, hot mess. And Shoshana is, looks like she's pretty fed up with it.
I feel really bad for Jess, though, because she was trying. Like, it sucks when an addict is trying, and then you go back and you just ruin their life. Like, that's exactly what he did. And I don't think that they're intimate. She hasn't gotten intimate with him yet, has she?
Not that we've seen. I don't believe so.
It's just a kind of...
As far as I can remember, she keeps turning him down in that respect, and it's just kind of been more of a friendship.
Okay. I
hope, but I'm going to have to go back and check. You guys let us know if we miss something.
I think they're just partying together.
I think they're just party friends, because I think he's tried to sleep with her and she keeps telling him no.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Regardless, it's sad. And
no, it's absolutely
you can't,
sad.
And it sucks to see your family member at that, too, going through this as well, because you want to help them, but they're just not listening.
Yeah. I mean, you can't help somebody that won't let you or won't help themselves. Like, it's really, you can't, you know, it's a crappy situation to be put in.
Yeah.
You know, and we see that Shoshana reaches out to Jasper's daughter and finds her. And this poor kid is a mess herself. All the stress from all of that. I mean, she's got like a rash from stress. Her allergies are acting up. She just wants her dad to get it together. And Jessa is completely upset and is infuriated with Shoshana for doing that.
Well, you can't blame Shoshana for doing it. I mean, here she is. She has, you know, Jessa invading her apartment to start. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not exactly a one bedroom where she can be separate from her. You know, Shoshana's in school. She's trying to focus. She's trying to, you know, finish up in college. Mm-hmm. And Jessa is just this junky, hot mess. And now she's brought Jasper into her apartment with her, into the studio apartment. They're, you know, making a ruckus. They're being obnoxious. They're completely coked out of their minds, distracting her like crazy. And it's just not cool. It's not cool. So for Shoshana to go and reach out to Dottie to get pretty much him out of her house wasn't a bad call.
No.
And Jessa has no right to be upset, honestly. It's like, you know what? You gotta deal with it. I think it was a great move for Shosh to do it.
I think so too.
And, you know, whether Jessa likes it or not. And, you know, we find that in this interaction, and it was funny how she lured them there. Oh, you know, Shosh is going to buy us a steak. Mm-hmm. Really? Really? You bought that? You know?
Well, I mean, that's how out of their minds they are.
Yeah.
Really?
And so we come to find that as they're sitting there, you know, in this almost intervention-like situation, that Jasper actually is a really, really stand-up guy before he's all messed up.
Mm-hmm. Without the drugs.
Yeah. He's a really stand-up guy where, you know, his daughter starts explaining the kind of person that he is. And Jessa is just not wanting to buy it. She likes this hot mess guy because he actually brings out the best in her and knows who she is. Because we saw that when he was in rehab, he was able to call her out and who she was as an individual that nobody in rehab could actually pull that out of her.
Right.
And so she doesn't want to lose that, the one person that gets her.
I don't know if it's so much that she doesn't want to lose the person who gets her or she doesn't want to lose the person who enables her. And so if he gets his act together, therefore she's going to have to get her act together. Mm-hmm. You want to keep, misery loves company. You want to keep that person who is allowing you to be comfortable in your addiction and in your problem. You don't want to have to clean your act up.
Yeah.
And so I think that he is her excuse into falling back into it, but she also doesn't want to get out of it. And so if he gets help, therefore she's going to have to get help. And I do think that Shoshana was imposing by reaching out to the family member, because in a normal situation, if she wasn't being inconvenienced, she would not be trying to help or rekindle that relationship. When you're dealing with an addict, it's a very sensitive time, and you cannot trust them in those situations with your emotions, mentally, physically, financially. And so to bring the daughter back into the situation when he's not in a place where he can even handle her or give her the love that she needs is almost unhealthy for the daughter as well.
Well, I mean, it was a super selfish thing to do. I mean, it's not like she was just doing it out of the goodness of her heart. She wants that dude out of there.
Right.
So she's, you know, but she tries to make it, and maybe part of her did think she was doing a good thing, but the majority of it was she needed him out. Somebody needs to come and get him because there's no way she could kick him out. Jessa wouldn't allow it. So she needed someone from the outside to do it. So she researched, found his kid, and, you know, made that happen.
But the daughter can't do anything for him. She can't do anything for him.
No, you know what though? There's nothing more. I mean, he went MIA. Mm-hmm. Seeing her may inspire him to clean up his act.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, I mean, he's the only one that can really do anything for himself.
They both need to go back to freaking rehab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They need to get tied up and drugged back to rehab.
Well, and then we see Jessa sitting, you know, outside smoking a cigarette, and Shoshana walks up, and, you know, she doesn't even get it. Like, she's so lost that she doesn't even get it. She looks at Shoshana and is like, I hope you're happy. And Shoshana just tells her, you look like a junkie. And she's like, I am a junkie.
And you know what it is, though? I think in that moment, it's the fact that Jasper did go off with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that possibility that he will clean up his act. Mm-hmm. You know, she lost her friend.
But she's mad at Shoshana for getting him clean, at least on the path to that.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, she doesn't want to be alone. Get it. She doesn't. But the thing is she's not alone. She's making herself feel like she is.
She doesn't want to be alone in her problem.
Yeah.
She wants somebody else in the problem with her. She doesn't want to have to... It was a lot of work for her to clean her act up and then to get a job. And now she has to start from scratch if she were to clean herself up.
Yeah. Because she stole from that job.
Yeah.
She, you know, that's all done.
It's like starting from, you know, your first step again.
Yeah. Yet again. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see kind of what happens there if, you know, Hannah steps in or if anyone else does or if she just kind of goes off again on her own.
Yeah.
Because it looks like Shoshana's fed up. She's done. She's over it, you know. Which, I
would be too if you were in my space like that.
I mean, I get it. It's, you know, it's hard to understand sometimes, like, that whole situation. So when you don't understand, it's just kind of easy to just be done with it.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, you know, repeatedly trying to help someone that just obviously won't take it.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how they're going to play that out and just kind of, like, how deep into it they're going to get if they do at all.
I've seen enough movies to know you got to tie them up and just play.
That's like something I would do. It's like you are a threat to yourself and others. You're
right.
Going back. That's it.
No, you got to kick them out. In a situation like that, you know, you're an addict. You're crazy. I can't take it. Get out of my place.
Yeah.
Your problem. I can't deal with it. I won't deal with it.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens to poor Jessa. I was hoping she was going to stay on that straight and narrow and kind of get it together and see what kind of cool things that we get out of her. And maybe she will. Maybe it'll turn itself around and maybe she will. I don't know. But what do you think about Hannah's work friends? The shots at the beginning of the episode.
They were partying it up.
And then she kissed Kevin. I like how that never came back again. She didn't even go back to work. We didn't see her go back to work.
We'll see that in the next episode.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in the next episode.
I wonder if they'll invite her out ever again. Like tons of shots and then she threw up and then Joe had to give her a bath.
We'll see what happens with that. I mean, that's something that, you know, you go out with your work friends once and you get a little crazy and then your work friends know not to invite you out again.
Or that's just expected when you party really, really hard.
Right.
It's kind of like, come on now. You knew someone was going to get carried. Like, really? Really?
Yep.
She overdid it. And, you know, Joe, of course, being the stand-up guy that he is, took care of her and...
Which was nice. I mean, they're really friends. You know, he's like, he helped, took her to the bathroom, you know, got her dressed and, you know, all that good stuff, which not a lot of people would do. I mean, I know people like the most they'll do is like throw you in a cab or like get you in the door and then you're on your own. So that's going like above and beyond. So Joe's a good guy.
Yeah, real friends will take care of you.
Yes, real friends will. So that just kind of shows, I think, the
Well, he's been looking out from her since the beginning, since day one, so... It was inevitable that he'd look out for her anyway.
Yeah, so that was just kind of funny to open up the episode with her. I was surprised, actually, that she was actually, like, hanging out with him.
I like seeing her with a different group of
people. Yeah, no, I think it's great.
That's kind of how someone grows a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they'll come into play when she's having these issues with Adam, if she'll start confiding in Joe or into that group and getting advice rather than from Marnie.
And that could be also the worst mistake that you make about your relationship. Mm-hmm. Turning to other people who aren't in a relationship that are more wise than you.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to get all these different opinions, because that's the problem that she's having now. She's allowing people to plant seeds that are making her insecure. So the more voices you get, the more opinions, and you don't know what to follow or what to believe.
Well, I wonder how, because like all the seeds that she's been getting, she didn't ask for. So I wonder how it's going to be when she starts asking, like, you know, how different that's going to be. But I'm excited to see kind of how this season wraps up and what we have in store for next time. But, you know, you want to talk about Lena on SNL?
Yes. It was so cool.
I didn't get to see it. I saw the monologue, and I read about some of the skits, and I saw that she got, you know, pretty rave reviews for it. So.
Yeah. Last night, I actually, you know, I never watch Saturday Night Live. I never do. And knowing that she was on, I stayed up late on my Saturday night and stayed in and watched it. And she was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. They actually did an Adam and Eve scene.
Oh, that's
that,
so cute.
Yeah, that was due, that kind of like, you know, was a little thing towards girls. And she was completely naked in the whole thing.
She had to be.
And Shoshana's head was the snake. And
That's hilarious. Yeah, I have to Google this.
One of the actors from SNL played Adam and had like the whole, like, you know, the way that he talks in it. And, it was really, really funny.
I bet you it's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I'm sure
the skits
are going to be on YouTube.
The skits will be on YouTube, but it was absolutely hilarious. She was just, she had me in stitches. Absolutely had me in
and
stitches.
And did she write it herself or SNL gave it to her?
I think, well, SNL is more improv, I want
to
say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they probably had their own, I don't know. We'll have to look that up and
yeah,
see.
But she was really funny. She was really, really good. In fact, one of my favorite scenes was they did like the you know, teenage basement kind of like the two teenage girls kind of do like the interviews.
Oh, like a little web show?
Yes. And she was just really funny. So I really enjoyed it last night. Lena Dunham did a really great job.
Well, awesome. I mean, that's great. All right. Well, let's get into some predictions for the rest of the season.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I have an idea that there wasn't any evidence leading to this, but it would be pretty cool, I think, if we got to see Shoshana turn to other family members to intervene for Jessa. Like, if she had to call aunts and uncles or her mom or, you know, because we haven't really seen too much of their family other than those two. And so if there was an episode where she gathered them together to help kind of Jessa get back in rehab or to get help, I'd like to see that.
That could be interesting,
I think that Shoshana's going to kick her out.
Yeah.
I think she's going to kick her out. Jessa's going to have to find her way. And that's just going to be that. Now, as far as Hannah and Adam are concerned, I think that we're going to see them grow apart. I think she's going to start freaking out, and he's just going to be like, dude, I can't take it. He's going to focus on this play. And I see Elijah moving back in.
Yeah.
And that's going to be nice.
I see the opposite happening. I see Hannah freaking out and going nuts that she's about to lose Adam. And then Adam actually choosing Hannah over the play and not fulfilling the play and going back to his complacency.
That could be interesting. Well, you know, she did say that he was one of the best people that she knows. Mm-hmm. And Elijah was even surprised to hear that. And he tells her when they were eating burritos in bed, you know, really? Are you sure? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, well, I must not know him that well. Or I don't know him that well. And she's like, you know, once you get to know him, you can't imagine your life without him.
Do you think maybe her OCD will kick back in and he'll come back to rescue her then?
I don't know. I hope not. I hope it doesn't get that much for her. I want to feel like she's kind of stepped up one tier higher, a little bit on the maturity level. That yes, it will freak her out, but I hope that she finds a different way to channel it.
Yeah.
And not necessarily like go that route again. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to see how it's gonna go because I don't know. I really don't know what I think is going to happen there. So I'm interested to see how she writes that because it's always something different than what we thought it was.
It's really hard to predict on girls.
I know. Well, there's two episodes left in the season.
There are.
So it's going to be lots of fun to see kind of how they close this one out. But please go to iTunes and rate and download the podcast. It's free. Make sure to tell your friends and go to YouTube as well. We love to hear what you guys think about each and every episode. And make sure to follow us here at AfterBuzz at AfterBuzz TV on all the social media channels. Mm-hmm. And you can follow me at Kelly with an IE 079.
You can follow me on Twitter, Miriam L. Gonzalez.
And you can play with my Twitter and stroke my Instagram at spicy _Mari, SPICY_MARI.
We'll see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.